Scripture reading this morning comes, first of all, from 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. And I'm reading from the NIV this morning. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit in them was pointing. And from John 14, verse 12, it says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Thank you, Roger. So I want us to think about this important truth that is pointed to here in 1 Peter chapter 1. This important truth that we are chosen by God. I think these words are important, most especially in our walk with Christ, that we should know that we have been chosen by God for a special and awesome and important purpose. So I want us to think about that concept, and I want us to reflect on that for a little bit this morning about what it means for us as Christians, as people of faith, to be chosen. And secondly, what does it mean for us to be chosen by God? And sometimes it's important for me as I think about a concept or a word, I like to think about its opposite too. So when I think about what it means to be chosen, I think it's also important for us to think about what it means to be rejected. So the dictionary says this about being rejected. It says, to refuse to have, take, or recognize. To refuse to grant, to refuse to accept, to discard as useless or unsatisfactory, to cast out or reject or vomit. Ugh. Those are some visceral words, aren't they, when we think about rejection? The terminology is negative here. Refuse, disject. I think that times in our lives where we might have felt rejected, it puts some bad feelings in our heart, doesn't it? Some negative feelings, maybe even in the pit of our stomachs. So I want to share with you a couple illustrations that I think about when I think about rejection. And one illustration that this makes me think of is a really crazy show that comes on ABC, The Bachelor or The Bachelorette. I'm ashamed to say that I've seen that show more than once, and I know that most of it's contrived and orchestrated drama, but it's an interesting study in human psychology nonetheless. Here you have 30 men and women who are vying for the heart of one person. They're trying to get their suitor's attention, hoping to get just 5 minutes of their time to make a good impression, to get a rose and hopefully move on to the next round, and hopefully they will be the one that the bachelor or the bachelorette chooses. And then comes the infamous rose ceremony, where the bachelor and the bachelorette or the bachelorette slowly call out the names of the people who receive the roses with lots of pause and dramatic effect, until ultimately all the roses are gone and those people who didn't receive the roses are rejected and they have to go home. They get their obligatory hug goodbye and they say a few perfunctory I'm sorry's and I hope you find what you're looking for. And then you get to see the tears and the sadness. Oh, the tears and the sadness. I've known this person for 4 hours, and they were the love of my life. It cuts me to the core. How could he not like me? As they drive away, They make us feel, along with them, every ounce of rejection, every ounce of hurt and pain that they experience as they go back to the hotel and get their belongings and make their way back home. It's a silly illustration, but I think you get the idea. Rejection hurts. Rejection sucks. It's not fun to be rejected from anything. I remember when I was applying to seminaries, I wanted to go to Duke Divinity School. I had the grades, I worked hard, I had good references, but I was still discerning what form of ministry I wanted to go into, whether it was full-time pulpit ministry or youth ministry, and I was discerning that, and it reflected in my interviews. And I was rejected by the school and told I lacked vocational clarity. And I remember reading those words and feeling hurt. It was a dream dashed. I ultimately went to seminary at Wake Forest, and the rest is history. But at the time, it hurt. It stung. Not making the team sucks. Not getting the job that you hoped for stinks. Not winning the prize that you hoped for is saddening. When someone tells you that they don't want you, even if that person wasn't good for you in the first place, it chips away at your self-esteem, and it makes you feel less than. No one wants to experience rejection. But I think if we live long enough, and if we do anything worth doing, we're going to likely experience it. But now I want to juxtapose that with being chosen. The dictionary defines it in this way: to select from a number of possibilities, to pick by preference, to prefer or decide, to want, to desire, to be inclined. These are much more positive terms, are they not? When we think about what it means to be chosen, it makes you feel good, it makes you feel happy, accepted, loved, desired. There's something special about being the one. I watched parts of the NFL draft last week and got to see the joy in young men's faces when their whole lives changed and they were given a shot in the most prestigious football league in the world. Their whole families were jumping up and cheering and celebrating and wearing the apparel of the team that had chosen them. I'll never forget the joy that I felt when I married Amber, that we vowed before God that together we would choose each other for the rest of our lives. There's something amazing and special about that. When someone would choose us, want us, see something special in us, and want us to be a part of them. Being chosen is special, and it's awesome, and we all desire it. We all want it for ourselves. We want to have friends who want to be around us, a job where we are needed and important, people who love us and seek the best for our lives, and to be chosen by others is beautiful and something that we strive for. But church, I have more good news for you. One thing that you need to know is that the Almighty God has chosen you. God, who created the heavens and the earth and everything in it, has chosen you. Despite your sin, despite our brokenness, despite all the ways that we've rejected and turned away from God, God still chooses us each and every day, every second. So I want us to think about that. What does it mean to be chosen by God? One of the best ways that I can explain it is through the lens of the young girl and overcomer named Hannah. Hannah has been through a whole lot of adversity in her young life. Hannah was raised by her grandmother. Her mother passed away, and she's told that her father is dead also. She finds out later that her father had issues with substance abuse and other things and left her life for that reason. Hannah felt her entire life that she was less than. She felt rejected by her family. She didn't have many friends. She had the bad habit of stealing from other people, and she kept to herself. Hannah battled asthma her whole life, but yet was going to try and be a part of the cross-country team of the school and would be John's lone student that he would coach. And in the midst of this, Mrs. Brooks, the principal of the school, talks to Hannah and shares with her an important truth. During this conversation with Hannah, Principal Brooks shares with her the gospel. She shares with Hannah that despite her sin and anything that she's been through in the past, God sent Jesus Christ into the world to die upon a cross and to save her from the power of sin. Jesus died not only for all of us, but he also had us individually in mind when he gave up his life on the cross, and that also included Hannah. It was in that moment that Principal Brooks took Hannah's hands and guided her in the prayer of salvation. After that moment, Hannah's life changed drastically. She dedicated her life to the Lord. She read Ephesians chapters 1 and 2 about what it means to be chosen by God. And she began a process of apologizing to people she had wronged and bringing back the belongings that she had stolen from them. You see, church, when we realize that we are chosen by God and accept His grace, that's when our whole lives begin to change, that God could take those broken pieces and create something beautiful. It is when we receive God's grace that we have this process in our lives of transformation, that we live into the hope and the joy of Christ for our lives. So now I want to share with you a scripture about what it means to be chosen by God. I want us to reflect now on this passage that Roger read for us a moment ago from 1 Peter chapter 1. And so verses 3 through 5 say this: "Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Christ from the dead, into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." So the language here is important. The language here speaks about an inheritance. And we also see this language in Paul's letter to the Romans. God chooses us as His children. As the children of God, we are given an inheritance of eternal life, which can never perish or spoil or fade. All we have to do is accept this gift that is freely given, this gift of our sins being washed away, and this gift of eternal life because Jesus gave up His life. And all we have to do is ask for it, and it's ours, and we have a home in heaven. And one day, God will come again and will reconcile the world unto Himself. We need to remember that we have been chosen. We are the heirs of salvation. There is nothing that we have to do to earn it. It's a gift that we just have to ask for, and it's ours. And you know what I love about God's grace is that it's not an elite group of people that God has chosen. I think that when we think about being chosen in worldly terms, we think about others being excluded, that somehow we are special or better than everyone else that was rejected, but not in God's economy. In God's economy, every one of us are chosen. Jesus died on the cross for everyone. All sinners, no matter who they are, no matter what they've done, everyone. God doesn't reject us. It is us who reject God. You see, the gift of salvation is freely given, no strings attached, and it's up to us to receive it. Verses 6 and 7 say this: "In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you suffer trials or suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven and genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." You see, Jesus reminds us in the Gospel of John that we will have trouble. We will go through difficult times. We are in one of those seasons now, but we rejoice in our faith. We rejoice in the truth that we are chosen by God, that we've received His grace, and we have a share in eternal life in heaven. Our perseverance in times of trouble shows the genuineness of our faith. It is in times such as these that we're called to lift up one another, support each other, pray for one another, and share the love of Christ with one another. We are chosen by God, and we are His beloved children. So let us act that way and lift up each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. And so the reward that we receive for our faithfulness is great. And let's hear this reward in verses 8 and 9. It says, "Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you're receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls." We believe in an unseen God, receive the salvation from the sacrifice of Jesus, who conquered sin and grave for us all. Because of our faith, we receive joy and peace and salvation. And church, there is no greater gift than this. God has given us the best gift that we could be given, a home in heaven. God's love found in Jesus Christ has truly overcome the world. You see, there's something important that we also need to know from John 14, verse 12. It's to remind us what our response should be because we've been chosen by God. It says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in Me will do the works I've been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father." You see, because we have been chosen by God, because our lives have been changed and transformed by the salvation found in Jesus Christ, that means our lives cannot be the same. It means that we have to be fully used by God to do good works in his name. We are called to do good works in the world, to pray, to love one another, to serve God, our church, and our community, and the world in his name. Most especially in this season that we are in, we need to be faithful in doing the works of God. I want to thank each and every person who's been so faithfully giving and participating in the ministries of the church. Because of you, we continue to minister to families in need through the food pantry, provide to hospitals and medical providers and more scrub caps and masks and isolation gowns, to our hospitals and our first responders. We're doing so much good to help and to be a blessing in the midst of this pandemic. God is using this difficult season to weave good. God is using his chosen people, those that have received the gift of love and salvation, to bless others so that others might come to believe as a result. You know, I am confident that once this threat passes, that many will draw closer to God. And it's because of the good work that you are doing that others will come to believe. So, dear friends, remember that you are chosen, that you are fully loved by God. When Jesus died on the cross, he had you and me in mind. This is not an elite group. We are all God's beloved children. No matter what our sin, no matter what our past, God chooses us every day. And so accept that gift and accept that love. And I would be glad to guide us all in that prayer this morning. For some of you, it might be the first time. For some of you, it might be an opportunity to renew that relationship that you have with Jesus Christ. To know that you are fully loved and chosen by God, and God never rejects us, and the offer to follow him always stands. So let us together choose life, choose hope, choose joy, and choose love. Will you pray with me? We thank you, O God, for your blessings, for every gift that you've poured out. God, help us to remember that we are your beloved children, that you chose us, that when your son Jesus died on the cross, he had us in mind. So Lord, I give my life to you. We give our lives to you. God, we recognize our sin. We can recognize our brokenness. And we know, oh God, that we can't overcome that sin alone. So Lord, we thank you for Jesus. And we believe that Jesus gave up his life upon a cross, that he saved us from the power of sin. And on that third and glorious day, he rose again. And so, Lord, we thank you for that gift, and we accept that gift into our heart and life, and we seek transformation. We seek change. God, we seek to live out your love. We seek to live out your greatest commandment, to love you with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And so, oh God, mold us, make us, use us into the people that you've called us to be. We know that, God, you can take our broken pieces and weave them into something more beautiful than we can ever imagine. So Lord, help us to be faithful, to give our life to you, to be used as you will, to be used to do good works for the glory of your kingdom. And it's in your name, O God, that we pray together. Amen.